I'll talk about the things God hates in several sessions. In 1994, senior pastor delivered this message in Proverbs, lectures on Proverbs. If you have the things that God hates in your heart, if you have them, then you wouldn't be able to say you love God and you're loved by God. So even if you pray with tears, you wouldn't be able to receive any answers. So if you have these things that God hates, you didn't receive the answers to your prayers, and your problems can't be solved. So for your answers to be, for your prayers to be answered, you have to remove these things that God hates from inside you. So you'll be able to say you love God and you're loved by God only when you remove these things. So the reason why you don't receive the answer lies with these things that God hates. So, and also through the message, I hope you will become pleasing children of God. Today's verse 16 from the reading passage says, there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to Him. So are there only six or seven things that God hates? And I believe you are very wise. You answered very well. But when, in 1994, when senior pastor was delivering this message, he asked the same question. And the congregation, the members, some of them said, Amen. So he asked, are there only six and seven things which are abomination to the Lord God? And they said, Amen. And senior pastor said, maybe you are a little naive. And there can't be only six or seven things that God hates. So what God hates is all kinds of sins. He hates all kinds of sins. So what are sins? It is disobedience, every single kind of disobedience to the word of God. Of course, the works of the flesh, plus things of the flesh in the heart. So there are so many more things than six or seven things which are abomination to God. You receive the gift of love, the book, the booklet, which are the Bible verses of do's, don'ts, keeps, and throwaways. So if you disobey any of those commandments, it is a sin. And there are more than 1,400 verses of these commandments in the booklet. So there are much more than six or seven things that God hates. But why does this passage say there are six or seven things? These are the most basic and most fundamental and which are very against the Word of God. So, for example, suppose there are children who don't listen to their parents at all and who are troublemakers, and the parents advise them, scold them. Supposing the parents are telling them, you do this, do this, do that. So there are 20, 30, 40 things, then you have to change all of them so that you can be a good boy or a good girl. Then which child would be able to change all of them? Even if they wanted to, they would just give up. But if the parents are wise enough, they would first talk to them about the most important things. If you really make up your mind to do it, if you put your mind to it, you can do it. Right now, you can change this habit. So the parents will summarize or talk about just a couple of things that they have to change. Absolutely change. So the Father God, we have so many sins. But what the Father God is talking about in Proverbs chapter 6 is the most important things, most fundamental and basic things. And also in your life, in our lives, we might think this is not really evil. But so God is talking about these things. Like the feet that made the innocent bleed, caused the innocent to bleed. So God is talking about these sins and evil that we might not be aware. So God is talking about these things, and I will get into that in the next session. So God is talking about these things that we might easily miss. So God is pointing out these things in Proverbs chapter 6, 16 to 19. These six or seven things. So God says six or seven things, and it's not set. It's either six or seven, but it's, and if it is said just six things, then we might think it is only six things, or it is only seven things that God hates. We might misunderstand. So that is why God says it's a bit vague. Six things which the Lord hates, seven things which are an abomination to Him. So, also God is talking about these things because they are the things that we might think they are not evil. So God is pointing out these things. So you shouldn't be a misunderstanding this verse and say there are only six or seven things that God wants us to cast away. What God hates actually is whatever is against the word of God, whatever disobedience to the word of God. But these six or seven things that God mentioned are the things that we might not realize that they are evil. So the first thing that God hates is haughty eyes. If you are arrogant, it'll be revealed in your actions, words, attitude. You consider others lower than yourself. This is haughty eyes. For example, a rich man looks down on the poor. An intellectual looks down on the uneducated. And those who have fame and power, they look down on those who don't. And just imagine the eyes of an arrogant person. If there are difference in opinions, or if they suffer some discomfort because of others, then maybe they stare at these people. Especially in movies or TV shows, or especially historical dramas in Korea. I think these actors, actresses, they are quite good in historical dramas. So those who are good-hearted, they express the goodness. Of course, it's written by the TV writers. But anyway, the actors, actresses, they act this out. And when we see these eyes, facial expressions, we can see these eyes with goodness or eyes with arrogance, evil. So you can imagine these eyes. So once they have hard feelings, their eyes become really kind of scary. And also those who compare themselves with others, and suppose others are recognized more, then their eyes become shaky, and they look at this person and that person, the one who is praising their friend, and their friend who is recognized more than themselves. So these attitudes are shown, revealed. They look up and down. And usually, nowadays, they talk about this 갑질, which is a misuse of power. And they look up and down, look at the others up and down, and they speak, say these angry words. And even this doesn't look good at all. This is embarrassing. If somebody's acting this way, the group of people there, they would be embarrassed by this person. And how much more would God feel embarrassed about this haughty eyes, arrogant attitudes? Of course, he would say he hates them and he can't look at them. So this is what we have to fix. Whether we are rich or poor, famous or not, educated or not, we are all children of God. Just because we have money and fame and power here, it doesn't mean we'll be recognized by God. In the world, God hates those who look down on others just because they have money, fame, and power. And God says those who are humble, those who serve others, they will be high. They will be the great. They will be in the higher positions in heavenly kingdom forever and ever. And this earthly life is not everything. There is an eternal life for us. And God evaluates us with the things that we say here, say, do. So we shouldn't be trying to lift ourselves up on this earth. This is something foolish and something we have to get rid of. Just to be recognized, we shouldn't be doing anything evil. So suppose we are recognized, and let's say others are afraid of us. They look like, it looks like they listen to us. But that's what God hates. So we shouldn't be doing those things, but we should humble ourselves so that we can be recognized by God and not by others, not by other people. So if we have money, fame, and power, then we should consider others better than ourselves, higher than ourselves, and we should serve them. This is the way to be recognized by God. So how much do you serve others? How much do you serve the poor? And if you have knowledge and education, how much would you serve the uneducated? And if you have a lot of money, then you'd help the poor. And only recently, like in the Manmin magazine, in the Friday War All Eyes service, you watched about the charitable works of the senior pastor. It enriched many people's lives and it strengthened them so that they could go on this march of faith. And only until recently, it wasn't publicized. That's what senior pastor did. You know, he didn't want his good deeds to be known to people. He just did everything quietly. All the good things. And he always taught us, Mrs. Lee and the daughter, three daughters, to help those who are in need. And we came to think about the goodness of the shepherd even more. So if we have something, we should be able to help others. This is also service to the community, to the congregation of the church. And also, suppose somebody is speaking, somebody uneducated is speaking. Sometimes they speak nonsense. And in the world, they might look down on them, saying they are only talking about nonsense. But the senior pastor never does it. And even if they say something nonsense, some nonsense all the time, he listens to them today. He might come up with some good idea today. So you have to listen to them all the time. And if there is anything to apply to yourself, you can do it. And if it is just nonsense, you can just let him talk. But you don't have to look down on them. Saying they speak nonsense all the time. Then we should realize, if you are doing so, we should realize this is arrogance. Even if others have a lot of shortcomings, they must have at least one good thing in them. So we have to find it out and serve them, consider them valuable, precious, with just one good thing. This is what the senior pastor has been doing. He considers them precious because of this one good thing. So this is service. I am higher, but how can I consider others who are lower than me, higher than me? But this is how we serve them. Even if there are nine wrong things about them, we consider one good thing about them, one right thing about them, and we consider them precious. Just one good thing. And even if they are trying in one good thing, we have to cover the other nine. This is what the senior pastor has been doing. And he is our shepherd. That is why he has been leading us this way. And that is why we have been able to be changed. So this is service, humbleness, and humility, which is opposite of arrogance and haughtiness. Philippians 2:3 says, "But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves." So this is our Lord is also looking for those who are humble, and He will lift them up. In Luke chapter 16, there is parable of the rich man and the poor man Lazarus. And being rich or poor on this earth doesn't decide our well-being in the heavenly kingdom that is forever. So even in the church, in the world or in the church, you shouldn't long for the titles themselves. If you just are after the titles, it means you are arrogant. But most of you here do not do that. Even if you are college professors or doctorate, you wouldn't say, how can I hang out with just my small group members, the ordinary people? I am so high. I have such a high position in the society, and how can I hang out and with my leader in my group? They don't think in this way. You don't think in this way. And I have this position in the society, and how can I raise my hands with hand motions in praising God? And so senior pastor was, when he was delivering this message, he was praising the church members that you don't do that. You are not arrogant in that way. So when we are humble, we believe that we will be higher in the heavenly kingdom. But we should always be careful about arrogance. We shouldn't just think that, oh, we are going well, we are doing fine. We have to be on the alert all the time. Because the moment we are recognized and lifted up, that's when we can become arrogant most easily. We can see this from the example of King Saul. When we are humble on this earth, God sometimes lifts us up, even on this earth. And we think, oh, God lifts me up when I humbled myself. And then you might become arrogant. So that's what happened to King Saul. When he was anointed as the king, he hid himself because he was so humble. But even when other people disliked the fact that he would become the king, he just kept quiet. There were people who didn't like Saul to be the king, but he just kept quiet about them. But as soon as he became the king, he became arrogant, and his eyes turned scary, arrogant. We were not there to see his eyes in person, but we can imagine. We can see that his words and attitude became arrogant. And also, when in the book of Esther, there was this queen called Vashti, and she was so arrogant. And those who are arrogant can fall at a moment. This queen Vashti, she was loved by the king so much. Her beauty was so excellent. And she became arrogant, and she didn't obey the king, and she was dethroned from the position of the queen. Even though she was so beautiful, and she was loved by the king, she became so arrogant, and she was kicked out of her position. Even in Korean history, when the women who are loved by God became arrogant, they had these haughty eyes. You can remember these historical dramas. You can remember them. You know, the politicians, the ministers, they are arrogant. All of them, they were arrogant and they wanted to lift themselves up. They slander others. They create false rumors. They give hard time to others. And also, we can also see the women who are jealous of each other, who wanted to be loved by the king. And look at these facial expressions, eyes. We can see that they are filled with evil, jealousy. And if other women are loved by the king more than they are, then they have these jealousy eyes, haughty eyes. You can imagine and remember these eyes. And you can remember these, those who are good-hearted, those who are humble, and those who are arrogant. And especially, just before death, we can remember. Sometimes some righteous men, they were wrongfully accused, and the king gave them death sentences, or they sent them exile. Or sometimes they received a poison from the king as death sentence. Even though they were righteous, they were slandered and wrongfully accused, and sometimes they suffered. And when they were receiving this death sentence poison from the king, they received it humbly. And they would bow down toward the palace and with humility, because it was given by the king. They humbly accepted it and drank it and died. But those who are evil, how did they act? They would scream at the top of their voice, and they have these bloodshot eyes, and they would scream, and they have these veins popping out on their neck, and they have done nothing wrong, and the king is killing me. But of course they did so many things wrong. So that is why they deserved to die. But these evil people, they don't know what they've done wrong. You know, clearly, evidently, they did so many wrong things. They slandered the righteous people. So many of their evil deeds were revealed, and finally they received the death sentence. And yet, when they received the poison from the king, or they just complain against the king and good people. So this is the evil of the evil people. You can see, at the death, moment of death of the evil people and good people, you know, those who are good-hearted, they reveal goodness until the end. And those who are evil, they show evil until the end. So it is wise not to provoke the evil people. You can see, you can discern whether somebody is good or evil. Those who are good-hearted, sometimes they have to talk about the truth if they are wrongfully accused. But even if others don't listen to them, they don't get angry, or they don't throw temper tantrums or anything like that. They just keep quiet, and they just quietly speak of the truth. Even if others don't believe them, that doesn't mean they would give a hard time to others or get angry. So we can see the difference between good and evil. Those who are good-hearted, even if they are wrongfully accused, they still show goodness. But those who are evil, when they are accused of their own wrongdoings, they still give out, they still show evil. So we can see how beautiful goodness is. So let us follow goodness and accomplish it. When we are in a higher position, we have to check whether we are arrogant or not all the time. How about, what did our shepherd do inside a country or outside a country? So many people, they say, he has ministered such a big church and he's showing so much power of God, but he's not arrogant at all. He's such a humble man of God. And when he hears these compliments, he says, I'm a servant of God. Of course, I have to be humble. And being humble is what I have to do. And there's nothing to be complimented on. There's nothing to be praised. And he says, our Lord is with us, and it's all the work of the Lord. And I don't have any power. I am not really well-educated. And I'm nothing if God is not with me. So this, we have to take after this humbleness. So also, let us keep in mind when we become this arrogant or humble, and let us check ourselves all the time. It's hard to look into our own eyes to see if we have haughty eyes. When we look into the mirror, it's difficult to find the haughty eyes. Because haughty eyes come out when we hate somebody or when we are not at peace. But if we are at peace, then our eyes might look good. So we shouldn't be making a mistake about ourselves. So when we lift ourselves up and look down on others, we have haughty eyes. Or when we get angry, or when we are jealous of somebody, or when we have uncomfortable thoughts, or when we pass judgment or condemnation on others, then we have haughty eyes. When we are not feeling good, then especially when we feel comfortable with others, they are close to us, then we become arrogant. Our eyes become haughty easily. So when we have these thoughts, when we have these minds, we can just realize that we have haughty eyes, and we should try to change this arrogant mind into a humble mind. Especially when we pass judgment and condemnation, this is totally wrong, which is such a great abomination before God. Judgment and condemnation, it's something so arrogant. James 4:6 says, God is opposed to the proud. We don't have any right to judge or others. It is the right that solely belongs to God alone. How can we fringe upon the right of God? James 4:11 says, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. Let us keep this in mind. If we judge our brothers, speak against, then it means we speak against the law and judge the law. Sometimes we might not be able to understand the Word of God completely because our hearts are not filled with the truth completely. Then, as we keep on obeying in truth, we will realize that all the words of God are goodness and true. So just because we don't understand the Bible, does that mean we evaluate the Bible, we judge the Bible? This is wrong, this is right? How foolish and how arrogant this is. This is to judge God Himself. So, even salvation is at stake if you are doing this. You have to think about your salvation. But also, if you try to evaluate and judge your brother, it means you speak against the law and you judge the law. If you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? If you judge your brother, then it means you are a judge yourself and you are God. You are in the position of God. So especially just by hearing from somebody else, if you judge your brother, this is such a wrong act, especially about a man of God who is guaranteed and recognized by God. If you judge him, it is such a great sin. It is such an unacceptable act, behavior before God. And the enemy devil and Satan, they try to instigate people to commit such grave sins. The Bible is always warning us against these sins. So judging and condemning, this is a sinful nature that is in us, all of us. So let us realize that we must never do it, and we have to get rid of this sinful nature. God created our eyes beautifully. And with this beautiful eyes, just because opinions don't agree, then if we raise our eyebrows and make haughty eyes, it is not acceptable. And it is really scary, actually, if we have haughty eyes. And let us have these beautiful eyes that are created by God. So what kinds of eyes are the ones that are created by God? We should have the eyes that have the goodness in them. Suppose other people slander you, right next to you. They point your shortcomings out. Then your feelings are hurt and your eyes become different. Your eyes change. Even if others say something evil to you, your mind is not agitated, and you just try to maintain peace, and you can understand others, thinking, oh, they might have a misunderstanding. And you try to change their opinion about them in a good way, but even if they don't change their opinion, you don't get angry or you don't feel uncomfortable. So those who have good-hearted, their eyes are clear and good. Just imagine the eyes of infants. Then we can see how clear their eyes are. Of course, they have sinful natures in their nature, but they don't commit sins yet. So they don't show any evil through their eyes. So that is why their eyes are so clear. And you've lived a long life. Your eyes are unclear. Oh, I am always tired, so I can't have clear eyes. You shouldn't be saying that. If you have good heart, then your eyes will also become clear. And even these beautiful and clear eyes of the babies, as they get stained by evil, they become unclear. So let us check our eyes and make them beautiful. And let us not have any eyes filled with discomfort, anger, looking up and down, raising eyebrows, or eyes filled with judgment or condemnation. Let us not have them, which are an abomination to God. So let us have only the eyes of goodness. The second thing that God hates is a lying tongue. One of the good examples is Jezebel, the queen of King Ahab. King Ahab wanted to buy the vineyard of Naboth, and Naboth didn't want to sell it because it is inherited from throughout generations. So Jezebel came up with a scheme. In the name of King Ahab, she wrote letters to the elders and the noble. The letter said, you have to proclaim fasting and accused Naboth with two false witnesses. And the two false witnesses would say, Naboth cursed God and the king. And after saying that, immediately they took him out of the city and stoned him to death. That's what the letter said. That's what they were supposed to do. And it was carried out as the letter suggested. So the people heard the witnesses of these two false witnesses and they stoned them to death. It was a total lie created by the evil of Zezebel. It was just a complete evil. Just to take the vineyard from him. So, Jezebel drove the people to do this evil thing. She instigated the elders and the noble and the people who didn't know anything. They just stoned an innocent person to death. So it started with evil. This falsehood. This agitated the leaders and the people. Instigated the people to stone an innocent man to death. So senior pastor said, suppose you are in the shoes of Naboth. There are two people, false witnesses, who accuse you. You don't even know them. You never said anything. And they are saying you said something you never said. And as soon as they are witnesses, their witnesses statements were over, people are taking you to stone you to death. And what would you feel? So senior pastor said, it'd be so painful. Your heart must be so broken. And a lying tongue can create such a fearful, such tremendous outcome. A lying tongue can kill an innocent person. It can incite people to do something they are not supposed to do. And senior pastor said, explained that he was wrongfully accused many times. It was in 1994. So he talked about the excommunication that was done in 1992. There were false witnesses and they didn't give him any chance to speak and they just took his position away from the denomination. And they didn't give him any right to speak and defend himself. So they were saying, these false witnesses were saying, in his testimonial memoir, he said the Lord was coming on such a fixed date on this page, on a certain page. They were giving this false witness. And there's nothing like that in his book. But those who didn't read the book, they would believe because they were saying on which page they were saying it. So those who didn't read the book, they would judge. They would believe it. And also, they said the senior pastor told the members to carry his photo so that they could be saved. What kind of false accusation is that? Have you ever heard anything like that in the 36 years of ministry? Of course, he never said anything then, and he never said anything now. Anything like that now. So I asked some of the students, teenagers. They have photos of celebrities, you know, whomever they like. You know, they have in their cell phones, they have these posters. They these big photos of celebrities and they like them. just because, but that doesn't give them any life. They can't change their heart. These celibs, they don't give any benefit. They don't give any actual benefit to to these teenagers. But our senior pastor, he has always let us know the love of God. He taught us goodness because his eyes, his actions, his heart contains goodness and love and hope of heaven. So those tears, his tears lead us to purify our hearts. So that is why we are happy to see him on a photo. We are happy to carry his photo. It doesn't mean we are saved by his photo or anything. But they were saying these things. They created these lies. And it was in 1992. And now, how many more years have passed and how much more lies would they be able to create? And they were saying that God a senior pastor prohibits marriages and he prohibits studying. And he always taught the students to study hard and give glory to God. He has been the same all the time. And in 1994, he was saying, at that time, they had the weddings in the church, and for most weddings, he officiated the weddings. And when many church members were consulting him about marriages, he mostly told them to get married. But in the Bible, it is biblical that the Apostle Paul talked about marriage in 1 Corinthians, that it is right, it is better not to marry your young daughter, if possible. So that's what the Bible says. So, but in 1994, and also even now, we give the church gives the newlyweds some congratulations, money for congratulations, a little bit of money. So even now, so what senior pastor has been teaching is it's a better way if you don't get married and dedicate yourself to God all the time. But he didn't say you must. They said, senior pastor taught, you must not work and pray at the church all the time, day and night. When did he teach anything like that? He taught that the housewives must do their work and provide for their family. And also those who are doing business or company employees, they have to work hard and become the light and salt of the world. But they were telling these lies to excommunicate him. But there was a way for him not to get excommunicated. Then if just said yes to all the things they were saying, even if they were all lies, if just accepted everything, he wouldn't have to go through the excommunication. He could have avoided it, but he couldn't say any lie. He couldn't tell a lie. He couldn't agree with all the lies they were saying. And he couldn't stop the things that were pleasing in the sight of God. So he just talked. He said the truth. He talked the truth. He spoke the truth. And finally, he was excommunicated. His pastorship was drawn. It looked like it was the dead end. We know it was past and we know the final outcome. And you think it's not something serious. But actually, senior pastor said, at that time it was like complete death, complete dead end. And it was something so sad. And yes, just imagine, they created these false witnesses, and it was so shameful. And what would have happened to the church? What would he do in his ministry? But because God was with him, he only followed goodness and truth. He didn't go through this thing because he did anything wrong. God knew it, and the members, church members, they knew it. So they only reacted in goodness, and after 1 year, God let us create this new denomination. And it's the same today. The things that you are going through, the pain, sadness, sorrow, you are going through all these things. But you overcome everything with faith. You believe in God. So this is the history of Manmin. In the past 36 years of Manmin's history, there were many things, like excommunication. From time to time, there were these difficulties, and we overcame every time. Also, we had this 98 and 99 incident. But after that, it was such a great blessing. And those who are deceived by the lies, so you shouldn't receive a bad evaluation from God. You shouldn't be deceived. Just remember the excommunication. But we overcame only with goodness and truth, and God blessed us even more greatly. And also in 98 and 99, those who overcame with faith, they received such great blessings of God. And today, those who have faith, the leaders, those who have faith, they keep the church and the shepherd, and they just keep marching on. So imagine what kind of great blessings will God give to us. So let us overcome with faith. And this false witness, this lie created by Jezebel and those who agreed to her and those who followed her guidance. And these false, these lying tongues, they can create such great pain to innocent people, and we shouldn't be the ones who do this. If you create lies and spread them, if you try to kill others, this is such a great evil. And the punishment for it will be so severe. So we must never have lying tongues. And because of time, I'm not going to talk about the end of Jezebel. What kind of punishment fell on Jezebel? And because Pastor Reverend Esther Guyong Chung explained it in detail. And the end of evil people is death, eternal death. And their glory is only for a moment. God sometimes watches this evil to prevail for a moment so that to check the faith of the righteous people. But we must never agree to and comply ourselves with evil. And there, you know that there are so many evil falsehood in the workplace, in the school, in your companies. You know, there are people who create lies to give hard time to others and who try to slander others, to bring down others. And of course, you must not have any lying tongue, but you must never hear those lies either. Suppose these people, in the case of Jezebel and Naboth, they heard these lies and stoned an innocent man to death, innocent man to death. We cannot say they did something good. So we must, Proverbs 14:15 says, the foolish believe all kinds of words, but the wise take heed in their actions. If you hear those things, what will God say? We are foolish. We have to discern between whether those words are good or evil. Even if it looks like they are telling the truth, they're still, if it's a gossip or slander, you must not listen to them. But in so many cases, in most cases, it's not even true. Most of the gossips are and slanders are not true. So you must not hear them. You must not listen to them, and you must forget about what they are saying. And you must not listen to them. And also, you have to look at the fruit of those who are slandering others, if they are really good-hearted people, or if they are really truthful people. Also, Proverbs 17:4 says, an evil doer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. So evil people, they listen to all kinds of evil things. So what we hear is also very important. Suppose we hear something and we spread it. But what we heard is a lie. So what we spread is a lie, it means we are also liars. Oh, I only delivered what I heard. No. If what you delivered is a lie, it means you are a liar. God will say you are a liar too. Even if you didn't create this lie, why would you deliver this lie? So we have to consider what we hear and what we say. Oh, somebody said this. I don't know if this, you shouldn't even be saying, I don't know if this is true or not, but somebody said this. God, you shouldn't even say those things. God hates these things. What we have to say is only what is of good, what is of truth. So we must never pass judgment or condemnation by hearing a lie. Of course, you don't have such an evil tongue like Jezebel's tongue. But maybe you shouldn't be giving a hard time because of your lies to trying to bring down somebody. You must never slander anybody. You must never gossip about anybody. You must not add anything or subtract anything, omit anything to give a hard time to others. This is an evil act too. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are His delight. So even if you didn't create any false rumors about others, if you say something that are not good about others, that is not what we are supposed to do. Also, we can talk about Delilah, Samson and Delilah. There was no king in Israel. There were only judges. So God appointed judges to help the sons of Israel. And one of the judges was Samson. He was so strong that he would tear a lion bare hand. And the Philistines, they were suffering because of Samson, so they wanted to kill him. So they used this woman, Delilah, and they gave her 1,100 silver coins to find out the source of his power. So she finally, she tried to find out the source of his power, and finally Samson gave it away to her, which was his not shaving his hair. So they shaved his hair, and he lost all the power. And he was captured by the Philistines. He was such a strong man, so he killed so many Philistines, so he protected the sons of Israel. But through this evil woman, he revealed his secret about the source of his power. Of course, Delilah came up with so many things to find it out. And anyway, he gave it away, but he was so strong, but his eyes were plucked out, and he had to spin this millstone. Actually, these cows or horses, they turn the millstones. But he was forced to do it. And Delilah, she cheated a judge of God, and she did such an evil thing because she told a lot of lies. So there are so many lies, so many people who tell a lie just for some money. And this is such a great evil. Maybe they get the monetary reward, but such a fearful punishment awaits them. Sometimes God's punishments don't come upon the evil people right away. So they might think God is not there. But sometimes, but in cases like unbelievers, they are like illegitimate sons. You know, they don't have anything to God, anything to do with God. So God doesn't care about them. Sometimes. But sometimes God lets them be to refine the righteous people. But there are so many cases. But just because God doesn't punish the evil people right away, that doesn't mean God doesn't know about them. But God hates evil. Eventually, everybody will be judged and punished or rewarded. If we comply with evil, And does it look it's beneficial? It is something foolish. If you think in this way, it is foolish. If you stay with evil people, it is curse. It only brings punishment. Sometimes they lie because of a evil spirit. In case of King Ahab, he wanted to take back the cities that were taken by Aram by allying with the southern kingdom of Judah. So the king of southern kingdom of Judah, he wanted to ask the will of God. So Ahab summoned the 400 prophets to ask about the will of God. And they all said he would win the victory. There was this person called Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, made horns of iron for himself and said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are consumed." The Ten Commandments, if you take the name of God in vain, it is prohibited, but he was saying this in the name of the Lord. He was telling a lie. And senior pastor said when he was delivering the message, he said, sometimes some church members, they say, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, God spoke to me, the Lord spoke to me in this way. So they call the name of God. They mention the name of God. They say it's the voice of the Holy Spirit, but you should really be careful about saying these things. They themselves, you and those who hear others say so, they also have to discern very well. Sometimes they are mistaken, or sometimes they say such things to deceive others. So if you just believe them, that if they say they heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, then you might be deceived. So if you receive the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, at first you have to train yourself. You have to really discern whether it is the voice of the Holy Spirit or not. Through so many cases, you have to confirm and reconfirm again and again. So you shouldn't be quick to say you are receiving the work of the Holy Spirit. But in your expressions and when you are saying to others, you shouldn't try to reveal yourself. So you shouldn't carelessly talk about, call the name of God. And other than the 400 prophets, there was another prophet, Micaiah. He said to the 400 prophets, false prophets said, there is this spirit of lies on their tongues. And Zedekiah slapped Micaiah and said, how did the Spirit of the Lord pass from me to speak to you? Finally, King Ahab, he didn't like the negative prophecy of Micaiah, and he put him in jail. But King Ahab went to the war anyway, listening to the 400 false prophets. And as Micaiah said, King Ahab was killed in the battle. This lying spirit worked on all of the 400 false prophets. So this lying spirit controlled the thoughts and tongues of the 400 false prophets to tell a lie. And we have to remember this. We have to realize. We have to understand such a thing can take place and we shouldn't be deceived. But does that mean lying spirit can work on anybody? No. It can work on only those who don't follow goodness, those who are not praying, who are not on the alert. You don't have to be afraid that a spirit of lying might work on you. If you just keep on following the goodness and the truth, the spirit of lying cannot work on you. But when you don't follow the word of God, and teach others, then the spirit of lying might be able to work on you. So sometimes you don't keep what you say, and as a result, it is a lie. But about this, I will speak about it in the next session. Let me conclude the message. Today I talked about holy eyes and a lying tongue. among the things that God hates. So I believe you felt how evil these things are. Of course, even if we lack many things, they don't like arrogant people. And we don't want to talk with even those who tell a lie all the time. And how much more would God hate those things? Proverbs 16:5 says, "Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished." So if you are with the arrogant, you might be punished too. Proverbs 24:1 says, "Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their minds devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble." So the evil ones, they cause trouble to others. They harm others. They devise violence and do not be with them. Even if it looks like they are prosperous, they are well off. And the people, they want to be with those who are well off. But if they are evil, even if it seems they are so well off, do not be with them. Let us keep this in mind. Sometimes God lets the evil people do their evil thing. But the enemy, devil, and Satan, they give a hard time to the good people. Then they would show goodness, even if they are being harassed or even if they are going through a hard time, they still give goodness, give out goodness. Then God can bless them. So why would God use the enemy, devil, and Satan or the evil people? If God just blesses the good people, enemy devil would object to it. There's nothing. With what ground, God, would you bless this person? There's no ground for him to receive blessings. So, before blessing good people greatly, God lets them go through these hardships so that he has enough grounds, enough reason to give them great blessings. So this is a step toward blessings. So sometimes God lets the good people suffer. So that is why in the Proverbs, sometimes the righteous goes through sufferings, but eventually the righteous will live by his faith. The evil people, they might look like they prosper for a moment, but their end is destruction. So you should be able to discern the truth. And we have to follow and pursue goodness and love and truth all the time. What God hates, we must hate too. Let us live in truth and be recognized by God. Psalm 37 verses 32 to 34 says, "The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him." The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand or let him be condemned when he is judged. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. The wicked tries to kill the righteous. Sometimes God allows it, but it is allowed only for the duration of time that God allows. Then when the time is up, God will not watch it any longer. God will lift up the righteous and punish the evil. And you have to understand that God is always on the side of the righteous. So let us become the righteous. In any case, in any situation, just practice the word of God so that you can be in the protection of God and in the love of God. Music.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.